The greatest fear and the greatest joy for a preacher is that the worship will be so wonderful that nobody wants to stop. It's the greatest fear because you might not get to preach, but it's the greatest wonder because you might not have to preach. And there was a point this morning where I thought, is it going to be one of those mornings where we're just going to worship? And you know, we often talk about three W's: words, works, and wonders. Well, actually, I think there's four. There's worship. And we've had a glorious time this morning. We've just been hearing about a witness as well. Word, I hope you'll come on a journey with me this morning. And wonders. We're on a journey as a church. And if you've been with us for the last little while, you know we've been going through the book of John. We're kind of taking a little bit of a swing in the river on that. But I wanted to follow on from where Ben brought us to last week so helpfully. And Ben's main focus last week was Jesus, the light of the world. Let's say that again. Let's see if we can get a bit of excitement about that truth. Jesus, the light of the world. There is no greater message than that. There is no greater story. We've been singing about his amazing grace. We've been singing about the wonders of his mercy this morning. We've been singing and praying and just being caught up in the wonder, the fact that he shone his light into darkness. And he dispelled that darkness for you and for me. And that's what it's all about. The light that brings life is Jesus and no other source whatsoever. And Ben so helpfully began to open that up for us last week. And then just at the end, he began to work towards what does that mean for us. And so I've been praying about and thinking about where to go this morning. I had a little bit of free rein this morning as to where we go. And I thought, well, we're going to carry on with the light of the world. But instead of looking at John, we're going to look into Matthew. And I think, Ben, you even mentioned this passage in your preach last week and began to open that up a little bit. And there's just so much in this that I want us to look at this morning. So I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus says something, is it true? Is it always true? Yes. Is it forever true? Yes. Does it ever change? So if he said something about us, it's true. I'm setting you up here, by the way. Okay? So if you have your Bibles or you're using a Bible app or you just want to read along up here, that's absolutely fine because we're going to look at Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. This is the a fantastic passage of scripture, this chapter. It is a Sermon on the Mount. It starts out with the Beatitudes, which we know and we love. He's speaking, kind of setting out the whole manifesto of what he's about. And what his purposes are for his people. And he starts talking, instead of talking about him, he starts talking about us. It says, blessed are. You are blessed if. And he's got all these scriptures. And then he comes into verses 13. You are the salt of the earth. Did Jesus say that? Is it true? Does that affect you and me? Okay, we've got that as a basis. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And then there's this parallel thing to what Ben was talking about last week. But this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where theology needs to become practice. This is where big concepts move off of the overhead projector and out of the preacher's mouth and into our everyday lives. And he goes on, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, We like the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. Well, I hope you do anyways. That's pretty important. That's fundamental to who we are. That's exciting. That's big kingdom stuff. That he, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is the light of the world. We like that. That's grassroots. Our feet are well dug into that, and we're excited about that. You know, if somebody comes up to you, especially another Christian, says, who is Jesus to you? Well, he's my light. He's my source. He's my energy. He's my everything. Where our knees begin to buckle and where our heads begin to drop is when we start to look at verses like this. Because this stares us in the face. This is his intentions for us, that you and I are the light of the world. Now, immediately we begin to back off and try and qualify this. Yes, I am the reflection of his glory. The Bible talks about that. Jesus himself said that he was the reflection of God's glory. And we'll look at that quickly this morning. Yes, it's Jesus shining through me. Yes, that is true. His spirit dwells within us. Yes, that is true. But he doesn't quite say that here. All of that is caught up in it. But he actually is saying, face to face, nose to nose, eyeball to eyeball, you, we, us, me, is the light to the world. So what is he saying? He goes on to say, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. There's something here that we often miss about this passage that I think is fundamental. And Peter, thank you for leading us in so well by talking about what we're about as a church. Living on the frontline adventures, every one of us declaring the glory of God. Do you know, on Friday, Chris came home from work. She got home quite late because of one of her long shifts. She walks through the door. Now, usually when she walks through the door, she's left home at about 6:30 in the morning. She often gets home at about 8:30, 8:45 in the evening. It's a very long shift. She hasn't had a lunch break. She hasn't had a coffee break. She might have had just about time to scarf a sandwich or two somewhere between this appointment and the next one. And the words exhausted don't quite fit the bill. And she normally comes in, she hasn't really eaten well during the day, she hasn't had time to do that, she's almost past being hungry in the night, and all she wants to do is have a shower, sit down for about 10 minutes and go to bed. I should have had a couple of awes there. Thank you, Ben. I heard it in spirit. But she comes through the door and she's just bouncing. And she sits down on the sofa beside me and she said, I got to pray with someone at work today. And she was so excited. Now, I've got to be very careful that this doesn't go the wrong way here now. And as she said that, I said, great, I got to pray with someone else today as well. And she just kept going on about praying with this person at work. It didn't even register what I had said because she was excited about the fact that she I got to pray with someone at work. And it was about 10 minutes later when the whole story had come out that I said, did you hear what I said? And she went, oh, did you say something? That's not untypical. But I said, I got to pray with someone as well. And I did. And then when I sat here with Chris, when I came to this morning, I bumped into Gordon. And Gordon's first words were, I got to pray with someone at work on Friday. Come on. And then I sit down beside Chris, and she says, I was talking to Keith and Jill, and they got to pray with people. Was it Friday? Monday. They got to pray with somebody on Monday. And I thought, you know, there's a shift going on. There's a shift. We had an apostolic word to us, and it's the heart of who we are as a group of churches. Everyone a witness. Everyone a witness. Why? Because it's been apostolically said to us, partly. But also, while I try and get my iPad to come back alive, because Jesus has said, you are the light of the world. And at this point, I will point my fingers at everyone. I'll point them at me. You are the light of the world. Jesus, sorry if it's a bit small out there, I will read it. Jesus expects us to shine and to be lights. End of story. If he didn't expect that, he wouldn't have said it. What he says, he expects. It's not a subtle suggestion. It's not a take it or leave it. It's not a, well, have a think about it and pick the bits that you like. It's not like my granddaughters when they sit down at and have a plate of food put in front of it and they say, well, I'll have that and I'll have that, and that's yuck. Gotta love that word, yuck. We haven't got that choice in this one. He expects us to shine and to be lights. This is what people see, experience, and when we are around. The light of Christ within us shining so brightly that it's our light and we shine. Sometimes we put Jesus and the Holy Spirit into a little pocket within us. We hide him away somewhere and we get a little glimmer. And we'll come back to that in a minute. This is the radiating of his glory. The intense, bright, and visible light of Christ shining through us. You see, Jesus didn't come and then go back to heaven so that he could then come back and do all the shining. He came. He was a reflection, the glory, the exact representation of the Father. And he still is. But then he sent his Spirit to what? To hover around us? To come and go, to be out there somewhere, or to dwell within us with the intensity of heaven and with the glory of heaven. And the minute that we think that the Holy Spirit is any less than Jesus or the Father is the moment we've thrown the Trinity out. And we do not understand when Jesus said, it's better that I go so that I can send one, oh, just like me, to dwell with you. And the word that's often used in the New Testament is to tabernacle amongst us. That means to dwell, to live within, and to permeate, and to express itself through us. This is the glory of heaven. The intention is that we are a town on a hill, desired, wanted, and obvious. Now think about a town on a hill. How many of you some evenings have noticed there's a glow that appears when it gets dark? That glow is Norwich. It's not particularly set on a hill because the words hill and Norfolk don't go together very well. Although I did, and even hill and Norfolk and Suffolk don't really go together very well. Beast and bump doesn't quite stir up the greatest thing of hills. Although I did follow a Range Rover a few months ago, and behind it in a big sign in the back window, it said Sussex Mountain Rescue Team. Or Suffolk Mountain Rescue Team. And I thought, yeah, somebody's got more faith than I do. But the idea of a town set on a hill. You see, we're not used to living in a world that doesn't have ambient light. We're used to living in a society and in a modern culture that even in the dead of night, there's still some light around us. There'll be street lights. How many of you have come through the two new roundabouts, or the roundabout at the airport and the new roundabout at night? How many of you find it really dark and disconcerting? It is. And the amount of times I thought, they must be going to add some lights to these. Because you're driving along and you think, oh my goodness, which junction do I come off here at? And I've come off the wrong junction at times. And maybe I'm the only one. No? There's others who've? Yeah? Okay. It kind of needs. But even there, and when it seems so dark, there's still ambient light. But I want you to picture this. And some of you have done this. You've gone into some caves. And I don't mean just a little indent in the cliff. But you've gone into big caves where you've had to crawl. You've had to do a little bit of this and everything. And even though now there's a nice path and everything there, at some point, it would have been a major task to get there. But then you tend to come into a big cavern somewhere in the cave system. And you'll be sitting there and you'll be admiring this and the stalactites and the stalagmites and the drips and then they say, and over here is such and such a formation, and they'll give it a name, and you look at it and you think, oh yeah, really? Okay, I can kind of see that. No, I can't. And then they do something. What do? They turn the lights off. And there is no ambient light. It is pitch black. You can do this and you see nothing. But you see, a city set on a hill, when they were talking about this, they were talking about, it was in a time when there weren't street lamps. When there weren't lots of lights around the roads and out in the towns and out in the villages. It was dark. And yet a city, which was often set on a hill, you could see it for miles off. Why? Because it was a desired place to be. It was an exciting place to be. It was a place of strength, of security. You didn't want to be caught out in the dark of darkest places in those days. It was obvious, that's where I'm heading. Do I get lost? No, because there's the light of the city that is set on a hill, and I'm on a journey. And that's what Jesus is saying we should be. Obvious, clear, desired, wanted to be, and a place that when you're there, it's full of excitement, food, water, and it's safe. And it's a good place to be. Corporately, as a people, we are to be a light, a city that's set on a hill. Elsham Community Church, we are not here to be a city hidden away and subvertly trying to change things. We are to be a city set on a hill. Everyone, a light. Everyone sharing the gospel of Jesus. Everyone declaring this amazing grace that we so happily sang about this morning. And we take so wonderfully in our hearts. It is light to us. But people are living in a great darkness. But they can see a great light. You and me, proclaiming who Jesus is and being what Jesus has told us we are. You are. I am the light of the world. It cannot be hidden. It is corporate. It is a shining beacon. He goes on to say about lamps in a house. So you might say, well, yes, we corporately, we're the light. I can see that, I can work with that, I can go with that, but don't get any more personal. But Jesus narrows it down, and he says, not only are you a city set on a hill corporately, the plural you, but individually you are a lamp. And he goes a little bit further here. He says, you don't cover a lamp with a bucket. That's not what you do when you put a lamp on. When I turn the lamp on in my house, guess what I want it to do? Light the house. If I didn't, I wouldn't turn it on. I don't have my lamp on and then go and say, I'm going to take the rubbish out of the dustbin, turn it upside down and put it over the lamp. Now, I want it to shine. And I've found that as I've got older, I need more light to see things. Anybody identify with that? What I used to be able to read in a certain amount of light, I need more light to actually see things, especially when I'm working on fine things. I was working on some electrics, And where I was working on the electrics, there's a hole about this big, and all the electrics are inside that hole. And there's a little light behind me. But when you're working on the electrics, you don't want the electrics on, so the little light behind me wasn't working because I turned the electricity off. Okay? John knows what I'm talking about. There's a little window about that big in the room where this electrics is. And there was a little bit of light coming through there. The problem was, even though it was about that far away, my bifocal, or my varifocals wouldn't focus on it, but there wasn't enough light even if my varifocals would have focused on it. And so I'm trying to do this little bit of wiring almost by faith instead of by sight. It didn't work. So I had to get my head torch out, put my head torch on, and even that wasn't enough. So I got another torch and kind of wedged it into the corner and head torch on, and finally I had enough light to sort that little bit out. I needed light in order to see what needed to be done. And sometimes we think about shining our light or being a light only so that out there they can see, but sometimes we need that light to see what we need to be doing as well. Because in the light, we see ourselves and others see, and then we begin to shine that. Everyone sees, everyone knows, everyone experiences what's going on when the lights are turned on. Think for a moment. What dark places in our daily lives do we go into that we need to be the lamp, the light in that place? Is it your workplace? Is it your home? Is it your neighborhood? Is it the place that you have social time? Is it in your family? Where do you need to be a light? And it's not a choice whether you are a light or not. The choice, because Jesus said you are the light, the choice is how intense am I going to be with the light? And you might say, well, I'll put a bucket over and I'll be kind of a holy glow. That's not what Jesus says. He says, don't put it over. Some of you might even be, this, to quote an old song, there's a hole in my bucket. So there's a few shafts of light coming out. Still doesn't cut what Jesus says. He says, no, you do not put a bucket over the light. What do you do with it? You put it on a stand. You hold it up high. Why? Because then everyone will see. It will light the whole house. And that is his desire for us as a people to be light of the world. Let's read it again. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What's the result of shining our light like this? They see. And they glorify. What a great thing. They see what God is doing. They experience the light. They realize they're in darkness. The things that they couldn't see, all of a sudden they can see. Why? Because we are the light of the world. And then there's glory to God. Now, just a little caution here. Sometimes we may be tempted to talk about how we've shared our light so that we can pat ourselves on the back. I did a good job. But what is the reason? It glorifies the Father. It brings glory to Him. It makes His glory more evident to others. But let's have a think a little bit about these good deeds. So how do we let our light shine? Well, first of all, we do it corporately. We said that. Town on a hill. Bible says, don't forsake coming together. Can I just say, coming together on a Sunday morning is vitally important. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of healing. It's a place of strength. It's a place of mutual encouragement. It's a place of hearing the Word of God. It's a place where we are committing ourselves to being part and parcel of something much greater than just what I can do myself. It is biblical to build strong local churches that are declaring the glory of God together and are working together. If you are sporadic in attending, change. Get regular. Come along. Get on the journey and enjoy it and endure it at times. Individually, lamp on a stand, in your home, in your work, in your leisure life. Openly and boldly, powerfully shining this light. Every day, all of the time. To everyone and everywhere. That's pretty comprehensive. But that's what Jesus said. So if he says it, probably I need to take note of that. So, part two. How do we let our light shine? We demonstrate your good deeds. We demonstrate our good deeds. That's what it said. Show your good deeds. Now, these are not just being nice and kind. There's more to good deeds than just being nice and kind. That can be part of it. But I will be honest with you. I know many people who have no concept of who God is who are nice and kind. And I'm seeing head shake. You know people who are generous, who are helpful, who are nice and kind, but they know nothing about the love of Jesus. So that can be part of it, but it's got to be more. It has to be more than that. Deeds here refer to kingdom level deeds, ones non-believers do not have the ability to do. If I could do these deeds without the power of the Holy Spirit and without being a Christian, then I'm not then I'd be shining a light that wasn't shining Jesus. He's talking about more. Now, I'm not saying don't be kind and nice. But I'm saying there must be more to this. This is where the glory to God begins to come into its own. See, these deeds are ones that bring glory to God, not just make me look like a good person. And there is a fundamental shift there. There is a difference between what makes me seem like a nice person and therefore people, you know, they kind of like me and they might want to find out about what makes me tick because I'm a good and a nice person. But these deeds bring glory to God and they come and they say, we want to find out who this God is. What really makes you different? What is at the core of your being? What is this light that we experience when we are around you? Basically, these are kingdom deeds that are leveled up. Yes, they're acts of kindness. But these acts of kindness are ones that go that extra mile. These are the acts of kindness that when someone takes your shirt, you give them your cloak as well. These are the acts of kindness that when someone curses you, you bless them. These are the acts of kindness that are only possible by relying on the power of the Spirit of God and the light that then shines through us brings glory to Him. These are deeds that show choices of righteousness. Where we have a choice and we live with choices all the time. Sometimes we call that temptation. Sometimes it's just a matter of everyday life that I make choices of righteousness. I do not speak that way. I do not enter into that. I do not act or react that way. Why? Because I want to bring glory to Jesus. It is so easy just to be caught up in the way the world thinks, says, and acts. It's actually the easy way to go. It's called go with the flow. But the last time I checked, Jesus never went with the flow. He went with what brought the most honor to his Father. And he spent hours praying and seeking that. I do nothing except what I see and hear. Everything I do brings glory to the Father, and we are to be lights just like that. But then it goes even deeper. Words of kindness that are honoring and upbuilding, that are inspired by the Spirit of God. What does prophecy, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom do? According to 1 Corinthians, it says it encourages, it builds up, it strengthens, and it fortifies. That is far more than just nice and kind words that the world can offer. This is kingdom deeds that are leveled up. There's an integrity and an upright living that shows that there's something fundamentally different at the core of our being that is the light of Christ working through us. It is a righteousness. It is a holiness. It is a way of living that's impossible without the power of the Spirit of God. There's speech that is honoring to God. Now you might say, yeah, well, I don't take the Lord's name in vain. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do the other things. But I'll tell you, I am so often tempted just to be like everyone else. How are you today? It's Monday morning. Instead of coming. One of the things I felt God say to me some years ago was that I was to be a source of joy and encouragement in my workplace. You know what? I probably am the only one, especially on a Monday morning. And I have to make a conscious effort. Am I going to reflect the glory of God, or am I going to come back in like everyone else? Oh, it's Monday, the weekend's over, and we've got 5 days of work before the weekend again. You know, there's that old song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. A few of you remember it. Actually, it should be in the church. It said, we're all working for Monday morning. How are we going to shine our lights? What's it going to be like? How are we going to level up to these deeds, our deeds being the light of the world? Our deeds leveled up even more. We need to be hearing and listening. Listening so our light is shining. Listening to what? Listening for the promptings of the Spirit. When will the Spirit prompt us? All the time. When will we hear that? When we're listening. You all know what it's like to have noise going on in the background. And some people, they love to have music going on all the time. Or you might visit someone's home and the television just is on all of the time. And I've been around, even in pastoral situations where I've been around, and the television just is on in the background. And it's so distracting to me that it's on, but to them, it's not there. It's not there. Well, do you know, the Spirit is always speaking. He is never silent. It's for us to be listening. And this is leveling up in our deeds, that we are learning to hear and to listen. This is all part of a relationship. Consider a father or mother to their child, a friend to a friend, a husband to the wife, where they never spoke to the other person. We would consider that a very unhealthy relationship. If Chris and I never spoke to each other, if I never shared things, if when my children were young, and even now, if I never spoke to them, never gave them any advice, oh, I knew all the things, and yes, I loved them and cared for them, but I couldn't be bothered to speak to them, there would be something fundamentally wrong in that relationship. And this whole thing of being a light is out of the relationship that Jesus wants to have with us, that is intimate, caring, moment by moment, and the Spirit of God dwelling within us and speaking and encouraging us that we walk in a different way. We see in a different way. We expect in a different way. We hear in a different way. Why has God put you where you live, where you work, where you connect with other people? Because He wants you to be on the front line adventures of His kingdom for that place. There will be people that will have no other light of Christ in their life except you. How bright do we need to shine? How much do we need to be that city set on a hill? When we are listening and we know it's in relationship, we know what is on His heart. We hear what His intentions are. We find what His wisdom is. We begin to move in what His purposes are in ever-increasing measures. And that is the constant light that's on a hill, on a stand, bringing light into a world that so desperately needs it. There is not a would be nice. There is a necessity of words of knowledge and words of wisdom in our everyday life. This is the radiating of His glory, the intense, bright, and visible light that He brings through us into the situation. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? We are the light of the world. Amen? I noticed the second one wasn't quite so loud. Jesus would say amen to both of those with the same intensity. Because He said it, and it's true. He said it about Himself. He said it about you and about me. Very quickly. How do we hear? Realize this is for everyone who knows and loves Jesus. You are a light. Are we at least convinced of that? If not, go back and read the verses in Matthew over and over and over again until you're convinced of it. Jesus said it. That's the end of it. What are we going to do with it? Realize this for everyone. You are a light. Listen, the Father is always talking by His Spirit, and we need to learn to listen. Ask. We have not because we ask not. You say, I don't get specific words of knowledge. I don't get those things that are kind of supernatural about other people. When's the last time you actually asked and took time to listen? That would be the question I would ask. Or are we so busy with just getting on with life that we forget that our foremost and first calling is to be a light to the world? And therefore, we need to be those who are listening. Now, there's a little bit of this that we might not be so happy about, in that actually, as we act, we have to overcome some fear, some disappointments, might even have to come over some personal character things. Oh, that's just not me. Sorry, it is you. Because Jesus said it, not because I said it. And there's this little verse that we don't usually have on our fridge magnets in 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a life, a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. So expect it. If you're the light of the world, you will be persecuted. If Jesus was the light of the world, he was persecuted. It's part and parcel of it. So everyone who witnessed sounds great, but there will be a cost to it. So let's just accept that fact and get on with what we're called to be anyways. Keep going until it becomes the normal Christian life. Just keep going. If you have an ear to hear, let's hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let's begin to listen for specific words, thoughts, and links. Just begin to listen. Jot them down. Look for them. I felt this last week, the last couple of weeks, there's been a gentleman walking past our front doorstep. Jeff and Glenda, you may well know him. He walks very slowly. Sometimes his name is Peter. Okay? His wife's name is Christine. Should remember that. My wife's name is Christine and her father's name was Peter, so that's how I remembered it. I've seen him go back and forth. Chris mentioned him a couple times. The other day, I felt the Spirit of God say to me, you need to pray for him. Oh, thank you. Listening is not always easy. Came home from work Friday. Drove past the entrance down in Simon's Road, which I needed to go to. Completely forgot. Got home. A few yards down. Guess who was walking down the road? Peter. But he was all the way up by Ann and Simon's. I would be home and tucked away safely in the house before he ever got there. Not a problem. Drove onto my drive. And oh, I wanted to pick up an Ann and Simon's. Backed off the drive. Went back. Who was still walking down the road? Peter. Picked up what I needed for Ann and Simon's. Sat there and chatted to Eve for a few minutes. Got in my car. Drove back down the road. Guess who was still walking down the road? Peter. As I got out of my car and picked up my bags from school and everything, I looked up and who was right there, less than 2 meters from me, Peter. Glory to God. I laid hands and prayed on him and prayed for him. Told him Jesus loved him and that we had a family called the church, Elsham Community Church, who would be praying for him. He said, it's not my sort of thing, but thank you for praying for me. Now, I'd love to say that the next time I haven't seen him since, but I pray the next time I see you walk past the house, you'll be walking more freely. I want God to be glorified. I'm praying for him every day now. I want to see him here on his knees finding Jesus. I want Peter and Christine in the kingdom. I want them to know this light of life. I want them in my home. I want them to come over and have a barbecue with us, part of our adventures on the front line, which Chris and I are going to be doing. I now have an access to go down and knock on the door. We're getting together with some friends. Jeff and Glenda, you will be invited because you're part of God's net to catch them. You've spoken to him. Hallelujah. He's got more Christians in his life than he knows. That is being the light of life. And it took me some courage to do that. And I'm standing here preaching on this. Come on, church. We are the light of life for this world. Look for things that God wants to speak to you through. Listen to their conversation. Often a conversation with a non-Christian, all of a sudden lights will start to come on about how you are to engage with them in the gospel. Don't miss the obvious. Here was a guy with his walking stick. I didn't have to go up to him and say, I believe the Lord would say to you that you've got a problem with your legs. I didn't get that sort of word of knowledge. He had the word of knowledge was that God was going to provide an opportunity for me to pray for him. Whether the next time he sees me, he'll walk quicker because he thinks I'm weird. Well, I'm hoping he's walking quicker because God has begun to do something. Next time I see him, I'm going to ask him how he is. I'll offer to pray for him again. You know, most people don't say no. And the few who do, a bit later, probably regret that they said no. So keep on. Scripture will often point to something for the day. Are you in the Word? We talk about being Word and Spirit-based. If you're in the Word, God will speak to you about your day. Work together. Be in twos. Okay, Jeff and Glenda, guess what? We've got a task. We've got a target to be lights to. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's a bit about us, but it's all about him. Maybe some of the rest of you will bump into Peter at Tesco's. Maybe he'll be walking past the end of Ann and Simon's Road sometime, and they'll need to help, and they just live down the road. Maybe Jean will get involved with him. She lives around the corner. Yeah? She might be out just walking down the road and find that she's walking along beside him. Oh, hello. Hello, I'm Jean. Oh, I'm Peter. Oh, I think I know about you. Ooh, spooky. There's a kingdom of God out there that's being built. Expect God to use you. Let's stand. I'm a school teacher, primary school. We sing songs in our school. Actually, my class and my school sing some of the Christian songs that we sing here with our kids, but with more energy and enthusiasm than they often do in Sunday school. When we sing Our God is a Great Big God, when they sing I'm going to jump up and spin right around, the place rocks. There's a song written in 1920, rewritten in 1936 and picked up by a group called the Seekers. Anyone have any idea what song I'm thinking about? This Little Light of Mine. Thank you. Do you know what? There's one word in there that's wrong. What's the wrong word? Light. Nope. Little. We've adopted that. We believe it. You probably sang it as a kid in school or as you grew up. You probably hum it. And it's hard not to sing This Little Light of Mine. I've been trying to think what is the best word to put in there, and it came out this morning. This floodlight of mine. This floodlight of mine. You think of a floodlight on a football pitch. You think of a floodlight into darkness. You think of a floodlight in big places. That's you and that's me. There is no little light about it. Just listen to these words. Make them a prayer. This floodlight of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If that's not enough, this floodlight of mine, what are you going to do? I'm going to let it shine. Third time for emphasis. This floodlight of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What? Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Now listen. The light that shines is the light of love. It hides the darkness from above. It shines on me. It shines on you. It shines to show what the power of love can do. I'm going to shine my light both bright and clear. I'm going to shine my light both far and near in every dark corner in this land. I'm going to let my floodlight shine. When? On Monday, you gave me the gift of love. On Tuesday, peace came from above. On Wednesday, he told me to have more faith. On Thursday, he gave me a little more grace. On Friday, he told me to watch and pray. On Saturday, he told me just what to say. On Sunday, he gave me the power divine to let my floodlight shine. This floodlight of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Choice, under a bucket, hidden away, dimmer switch, or do we just throw the switch away and wire it direct and we let it shine? Holy Spirit, will you stir within us the necessity of taking a hold of truth that we are the light of the world to bring glory to the Father? Help us this week to have story after 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 story, dot, 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 after story. You get the idea of opportunities to let our light shine. This evening we're going to be doing a workshop about how to hear, how to experience, and how to apply. How bright do you want your light to shine? If you can be here, be here. This is fundamental changing time for us as a church. Cruiser to whitewater rafting. Little lights to floodlights. Cities set on a hill and individuals empowered with the truth of the gospel. And let's begin to believe for people to encounter Jesus, fall on their knees and say, God is in this place, and be about who we're supposed to be about. Amen? Amen.